Welcome to Gospel Church. If you're new here, my name's Jonathan Helvoit. I'm an apprentice here at Gospel Church. Tom, who you've heard about through this time, is recovering from eye surgery. His eyes were shaped like footballs, and hopefully now they're shaped more like baseballs. So he is recovering. Apparently, it's a very painful procedure, so just be praying for him. And we will delve into Mark, which we have been going through together here. So we have just finished talking about, well, we're not finished. We're in the middle of Mark. There's no real end of one thing leading into another thing. Mark just kind of goes and goes and goes. So we're jumping right into the middle of a scene. But as we do this, I want you to think about something in your life, and we've been going through this morning in pondering the gifts that God has given you. And specifically, ponder the best things in your life, the things that just bring you the most joy. Think about the things you love, the person or the people that you love the most, the people that just bring you joy. When you think about this thing, it brings a smile to your face, right? No matter how much sorrow is going on in your life, there's something like Oreos that will just bring a little light, a little more light into your life, right? These things that trigger joy in your heart. These things that trigger joy in your heart. And I want us to remember this. And actually, Tim already read this morning, but I'll read it again. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So in a real way, I believe that this means that God is responsible for Oreos, which is a simple and silly thing to say. But sometimes I think we have in our minds that God doesn't really know what we like, right? And God is kind of just trying to twist us here and there to get us to do his will, but he doesn't really know what we like. He doesn't really care what we like. And what we like doesn't really even matter. And there are things that matter way more than what we like, but we need to see that God is responsible for joy. God is responsible for things that we love, and he made it that way. He could have made a world where everybody lived in sorrow and had, or very neutral and just going as drones through life, but God decided that he would make things like sunrises, or he would make things like hot days and cool water, or he would make things like hot days and warm blankets. Right? These are things that God does, and every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. This is what this is, and I just want this to be on our hearts and on our minds this morning as we delve into this passage, because I think it's just a really good place for our hearts to approach this passage. What's been going on in Mark thus far is Jesus is moving. He's heading into Jerusalem, and he's preaching the gospel. He's been doing a lot of healing and doing a lot of things like that, but he's doing a lot of teaching now. So in the midst of his teaching, last week we talked about a man, a rich young ruler, who came to Jesus and he said, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus said that he ought to sell everything he has, give to the poor, and come follow me, and he'd have eternal life. And he walked away sad because he had a lot of possessions. And then Tom talked through this, so if you missed this, it should be on the website, the sermon that Tom gave, about how it is impossible for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God, and it's impossible, and as the apostle said, who can be saved? And he said, it's impossible to enter the kingdom of God, but for God, all things are possible. So on our own, it's impossible to enter eternal life, but with God, all things are possible. We are now able through Jesus Christ to inherit eternal life. And that is where we end here. We end that last passage with the apostles looking at this man who had everything and wouldn't give it up to inherit eternal life. That's where we enter this passage today. So let's read it together. And we will be going from verses 28 to 31. So a relatively short passage this morning. It says, Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you, speaking to Jesus. Jesus said, truly I say to you, There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So this is the context that we have, and this is the passage that we're at today, is Peter saying, we have left everything. And I am delighted to be able to preach this passage this morning. Lately, the passages that I preach have been about hell and sin and demons and things like this. This is just how my slot ends up with regards to the passage. Tom preaches, and then I have a demon passage, and then Tom preaches for a while, and then I have a hell passage, and so on. So I'm actually very excited to be preaching this passage this morning, which might come as a little bit of a surprise because there's so much loss talked about in this passage. So how can I say I'm delighted? Because this passage is just bubbling over with assurance to God's children. It's really amazing. It's overwhelming and surprising, and honestly, at times can be hard to believe how assuring this passage is. So, and I'll point that to you real quick. It says, there are many passages in the Gospels where Jesus says, if you do not hate your mother and your father, then you have no part with me. Right? There are many passages in this that says, he who desires to follow me must take up his cross, his instrument of torturous death, day after day, and follow me. Right? This is something God does say, lay down your life and you will find it. These are things that Jesus says, but this passage right here cuts right to just his divine assurance, right? Because what Jesus is not saying here is saying, go and give up these things for me. He's saying, notice the double negative here, the no one and the not. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters, etc., who will not receive 100-fold in this time. For my all these brothers and sisters and mothers with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. So what he's saying is those who have done this, you need to rest assured that I will pay back 100-fold. That is what this passage is about. There is no one who will not receive back what they have given for Jesus Christ and the gospel. That's what this passage is about. And it's a wonderful and almost unnerving passage. We've seen televangelists promise all sorts of things, and we say, I don't know about all these things. I don't know about all these things. But here we see Jesus Christ saying, you give everybody who gives up, fathers and mothers and children and sisters and brothers and lands and houses. Everybody who does that. There is no one who does that that won't get it back. Not one. That is what Jesus Christ is saying to you this morning. And so, with this, the overarching theme that I want us to get out of this morning as we delve into the text is go, love Jesus, and preach the gospel, and God will take care of the rest. Go and preach the gospel, and God will take care of the rest. That is what I want us to see in this as we approach. So first off, I want us to see God's current provision in our life, his sovereign care over you. Because what this passage assumes when Jesus says losing house and brothers and sisters and mother and father or children or lands is that these people who are giving these up, these disciples, have mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and houses and land. And this might not be true of all of us. We might be going through a period where we have just lost a mother or a father, right? Or we have just lost a sister or a brother. But we approach this. The reason I had to start with thinking of the things that delight us is that God has given us many things that do delight us and given us family in one way or another. Maybe you don't have a father, but you do have a mother. Maybe you don't have a brother, but you do have sisters, right? These are things that God has given us. In his sovereign care, he has seemed to delight you with someone or something, right? This is something that we need to see. All of this, as I said before, I'll just repeat it again and again. These things that delight us, these people that love us, these people that we care about, these people that when we think about this passage and we approach this passage and say, okay, like I know that he'll give it back, but like I can't lose this person. Right? I can't lose this thing. Last week at the end of the sermon, Tom said, think of something that you have in your hand that like I couldn't possibly let go of this. Do you know why it's so hard for you to let go of this? Because God has made somebody or something in your life that is so delightful to you, that means so much to you. That thing, it can feel like we gathered this person or we gathered this thing, that this came from us. But it is God's doing. God has given that to you. And so it's an interesting thing that we feel like we can't possibly give this to God and trust him to give us something back. It's a strange thing because he's the one that gave it to you in the first place. Right? We read Exodus chapter 16, which may seem like an interesting choice this morning, but God gives these people manna, and he says, go out there, and it will be there day after day, and go and gather only enough for today, and I'll give it to you again tomorrow. And so they go out there, and they see bread rain down from heaven, and they say, here it is. But we need to gather a little bit more just in case he doesn't provide tomorrow. What do you mean, just in case he didn't provide tomorrow? He is God, and he said he would do it, and he's the one that made it rain bread in the first place. But and yet they come, and they gather it, and they hold on to it, and they gather a little bit more than tomorrow, and they find the next day that it's rotten, which is interesting. He said, I just said, take enough for today. And then they go out the next day, and they gather enough. And so then they get to the weekend, and he says, gather enough for 2 days. Gather enough for 2 days because I want you to rest on that other day. And that's an odd thing because we've seen that, according to our best scientists, this manna will only last 1 day. And therefore, how can this work? But they go and they gather it for 2 days and it lasts 2 days. And then it starts again the next day. And what we see here is a pattern of God saying, I will give you enough for the season that I give it to you. But just for that. But because I give that to you, you should trust that I will give it to you again, right? This is the pattern that we see in our lives. We can see, okay, I have plenty in my life right now. Our bills are covered, but this thing is coming in the future. I don't know. We gotta start worrying about this. We gotta start being anxious about this. And I'm not saying that all savings is wrong, but I don't want you to think about that right now. What I want you to see is that we start to get anxious and think, oh no, this big thing is coming in the future. We're good for now, but we're not going to be good then. That's an odd thing to think, because you are good now. What an interesting thing that God has provided for you, everything you need to eat, to drink, to wear, Christian, and to think, but maybe you won't later. What an odd thing, and what a thing that we ought to repent of. Do we trust the Lord with tomorrow? Do we trust the Lord with tomorrow? Because he is the one that gave us everything that we have. And everyone that we have is from him. And now he is saying that we'll get him back. Do we see that? Do we see that everything we currently have right now is his sovereign care over us? Right? Matthew chapter 6. And this is referring to Christians. And I really want us to see that God just cares so much about his people. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 25 through 33 says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than air, or more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Your father knows that you need these things. Your father's not a cruel father. He knows. A baby doesn't have to come running to his parents saying, clothe me. The parent knows that they've got to be clothed. And right, the baby might cry, I need food, I need food, I need food. But the parent, like a good parent, is not going to let their children starve unless the child comes to them and says, you got to do something, right? This is just God's gift to his children. If you are united with Christ, if you are a son of God, then you are cared for. Your food is coming. Your drink is coming. Your clothes are coming. And this is just baseline son of God stuff. This is baseline daughter of God stuff. This is what you get. This is what God has provided for you because he's a caring God and he has given all these things to you. So before we move on to this next point, do you see that every good and perfect gift that is in your life is not because you toiled long enough, is not because you worked hard enough, is not because you tried hard enough, but because God has given it to you? And maybe you have worked for a lot of things, but how did you work for those things? Weren't you born? Weren't you given legs and arms? Weren't you given job opportunities? Weren't you placed in a country where you can exchange work for food? These are all God's doing. Everything that you think you're really doing it right. This system was going a long time before you showed up. And now, I'm not just talking about America. I'm just talking about God providing for people, God giving work to people, God giving food to people. This was all going. So everything that you have is because God gave it to you. And this is a wonderful thing. This is it. We like to say, no, but I really did it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Everything that you have can be taken in a second. A robber, a tornado, everything can be taken in a second. And everything you don't have can just be given to you in a second. You ever reach in your pocket and find a bill that you didn't know you had? You just now have more money, right? This is just how it goes. And I'm not saying that we then turn into laziness or we then turn into like, don't get weird with this. But I'm saying that everything that has been given to you or everything that you have that is good has been given to you. So just know that deep down before we get deep into this. Because then here we go into another, the hard part of this passage. 1 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Right here, this whole concept that Jesus is talking about and that Peter is acknowledging that they have done is loss, right? They've lost a lot. And Jesus goes on to say that even in the things that he will give back to you, that it will, in this life, comes with persecution. So we have loss and persecution are a part of a Christian's life. This is not to be denied, right? This is something that we can miss sometimes and that Jesus was faithful to include in this. He assumes that if you are living for his sake and for the gospel, you will lose family members. It's a tragic thing. That if you are living for Christ and for the gospel, that you will endure persecutions of many kinds. You may have to forsake your family. You may have to walk away from a family. And not out of anger or anything like that, but I have friends and there are people, especially in people in Muslim religions or things such as that, where if you were to turn over to Christianity, your family would not only like not invite you to things, but they would say you are not one of us anymore, right? You don't belong to us anymore. You don't have a mother or a father anymore. You don't have sisters or brothers anymore. You're on your own with you and your new God. This is a thing that happens to people all over the world and to higher or lesser degrees throughout the world, right? There are certainly in this room, there are people who look down at you, even in your own family, for your beliefs, right? Not just for your beliefs, but for your union with Christ, right? There are people in this room who are not living in the same town as their parents or their brothers and sisters. And many of you, by choice, because you have come here, but many because you have gone on a mission to be with God's people. You've gone on a mission to go preach the gospel to the nations, and you've had to leave family members. And we see this all over the world right now, that there are missionaries all over the world who have to now live in countries where there aren't their family, they can't reach them, where they have to talk in code to the people that they love, where they have to leave the pleasures and the comforts of this life for difficulty away from those they love for the Lord. Many are putting their family in danger doing this, living in cities where the crime rate is super high, living in tribes and villages where people are hacked to death with machetes, and they bring their wives and their children there. Are they out of their minds? Some people who follow the Lord, even though the Lord says that he will take care of them, that he will feed them, that he will clothe them, that he will give them family members, experience deep periods of loneliness and hunger, which is interesting. Based on what God's word is saying, he will not leave them there forever, but intense periods of loneliness and hunger and even death. People die following the Lord. And this is something that we see throughout these Gospels, is that those who seek to gain life must lose it. These promises that God is giving is to people who have walked away from family members. And this is a hard thing. Spend time thinking about this cost, because as we look at the good gifts that God has given us, we also know that in this life, this fallen world, this world plagued by sin, this world that hates God, now hates you. And this world that loves the world and the things of the world hates righteousness. And these are the things that you bring to the table. And so what I'm not going to offer you this morning, and nor what is Jesus offering you, is a life full of children and lands and mothers and fathers and no persecution. That is not at all what he's offering. But he's saying, I am with you through it. But there will be cost. There will be loss. So we have to ask ourselves, one, have we come to terms with the fact that there is cost and there is persecutions? Because what he's not saying here when he includes the little phrase with persecutions is that I might forsake you. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying this will all happen. I will give you 100-fold in this life. Mothers and brothers and sisters, probably. But I might just turn my back on you, and I might leave you in the dust. That's not at all what he's saying. God is faithful through the end, but because he is faithful and you are united to him, you have a world that is turned against you. And people that you love, that are those people that you love, and they have been put in your life, and they mean so much to you, and they make you laugh and cry, and you are bonded to them, and they might hate you because of your union with Christ. What a devastating, devastating thing that is. And this is the thing that he's saying is a thing that comes with Jesus. But Jesus does not abandon his children. And God is not absent in that. In fact, it's a grace to him that he says with persecution, so we don't have to think, because this is happening to me, God has turned his back on me. Right? It's gracious of Jesus to say that you might leave father or mother or children or lands, and you will endure persecutions. What a grace to him. He's saying this to say, I haven't let go of you here. Like, when you endure these kinds of persecutions, don't think that Jesus has turned his back on you, because he told you this is exactly what would happen when you join forces with good in a world full of evil. This is what it is. And so one thing that this ought to cause us to ponder is, why are we suffering? Because Jesus says specifically here, these promises and these assurances and these persecutions are people who are doing this for my sake and for the gospel. So if you are suffering, it would be good for you to take time to think, am I suffering for Christ's sake or for the gospel? And this, I believe, can include random horrible tragedy that comes upon you, Christian, while you are walking in faithfulness. Okay, that is included. All right, people who are walking in faithfulness and random tragedy that strikes in this fallen world is happening to you as you are living for Christ and for the gospel. This assurance is for you. So hear that. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 12, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." And skip down to verse 19. It says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." So when these persecution come and when this loss of family comes, know that you are suffering. Make sure that you are suffering for Christ and for the gospel and not for your own sin. This is a really good thing to check on ourselves, right? There's a movie that I enjoy where a girl is breaking up with a guy, and I'm going to edit it a little bit for church sake, and she says to him, I think you're going to think that girls don't like you because you're a nerd, but that's not true. You need to know that they don't like you because you're a jerk. That's really important, and I use that as an example to say, like, oh no, look at my sufferings that are happening, because I'm just serving so faithfully. All the while, you're ignoring the poor. You're forsaking your family because they annoy you. You're doing wicked sins, and you're saying, look at the suffering that I'm doing for the sake of Christ. This is good for self-examination. If you are suffering, make sure that it is not for sin. And if it's not for sin, rejoice, Christian, because you are joined in the sufferings of Christ. And he will not leave you to suffer for eternity. If you are not suffering for the sake of Christ, then you ought not to be bitter about the suffering that is happening to you, because this suffering is going right along with your sin. And if you are suffering for Christ, be patient and not despairing, because it will not last eternally. And this leads us into the glorious news of this passage. That seems almost, how could this possibly be true? How could it possibly be true? I see suffering all over the world, and there are many people who are deeply, deeply struggling. And those who have lost sisters or house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands, have they really received in this time? Because he says in this time. Right there, he compares it to the land ahead, or to the time ahead. He compares it with it, so we know that it's in this time, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, and in the age to come, eternal life. What a gig. This is amazing. But do we look at our life and do we see, has this really been true? And I will tell you, absolutely it is true. Absolutely it is true. But it's difficult to see sometimes. But I want to open our eyes to this. One, God is still providing for you. When I mentioned these things that we love and that we care for, we all had something in our minds. But even more than that, what I want us to see is that God has given us, through Jesus Christ, the church. And this is huge. And this is not, and I want you to see that this is not like a cheap substitute for family. This is not like a cheap, like, okay, I can't really give you mothers and sisters, but I can give you this thing that's like almost as good. That is not at all what's happening. God is giving us his promise as children of God. Jesus is promising something huge that only God can offer, and that is 100-fold mothers and children and lands and brothers and sisters. That is something that only God can offer, and he has offered it to you in full, in this time, I believe very strongly through his church. And I believe that for a couple reasons. One, he does not mention fathers on the second list, which is of note. He mentions house, brothers, sister, mother, father, children, lands, who will not receive in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. And we see very clearly that there is one Father, and it is God Almighty. If you are in Christ, if you have left all for Christ, you have a Father who is greater than any father can ever be. And if your father has mistreated you, if you have been abandoned by your father, or if you have a great father, know that whatever earthly father you have, your eternal father that you have for following Christ and the gospel is greater than any father you can ever imagine. So you have a father. And now, also, it's interesting that he can offer you 100 mothers. That's an odd thing. What a delight to have 100 mothers, right? but what a preposterous thing for him to offer, except that we do have 100 mothers, right? I personally right now can look around this room and see mothers that are mine, and I'm grateful for that. I can look around this room and I have four sisters and no biological brothers, but I see brother after brother in this room. Don't I? Look around this room, each of you. Look at the brothers and the sisters and the mothers that you have in this room. Now look at them and know that most of them have a house. Many of them do, and many of them have a couch that is yours. Absolutely. And some of them even have spare bedrooms. And some of them have a sleeping bag or some sort of blanket that they can put on the floor for you. And know that that's not just in this room. Know that if you go to Utah, you can find Christians and a home that is yours, and a mother and a brother and a sister that is absolutely yours. And if you go to China, you will find mothers and sisters and brothers that are absolutely yours, and land and homes that are absolutely yours. Who else can say that? It's interesting. I went to my sister just got married, and her husband-to-be at the time was having a bachelor party, and he had a bunch of guys there. I was the brother of the bride, so I went, but I didn't know almost anybody. But within, like, 3 minutes, I was talking to these guys around the campfire, and already we started talking about missions and how we're going to go plant churches and things like this. These were Christian. And, like, within 3 minutes, I was talking to them as if they are people I knew my entire life. And this isn't because I'm super extroverted or because I can work the conversation well. Here is somebody who is my brother that I never met before today, but I just have a brother. Where else? Who else has this? Do you see what God has provided for you if you leave these things, these people that you just can't let go of? God has an entire family for you that will pray that your immediate family will come to be a part of your true gospel family, right? We don't leave them behind and say, forget you, I'm going to this other family. We say, I have lost these people, but thank you, God, that I have this new family, and we pray that they will join the family that you have. Do you see how God has provided for you? Because he doesn't just not care about you, right? We're bringing back from the beginning, he super cares about you. He brought joy into your life, and he knows what you need, and he knows that you need brothers and sisters and mothers and land and houses and some and clothes and all these things and food and drink. All of these things are just provided for you, Christian, because you have left something that means a lot to you, and he's not just like, well, you just too bad. He doesn't say just too bad. If you think about if you're on a mission, you watch movies about people who are trying to save the world, and they work for an organization. The organization doesn't say, all right, go and take out the bad guy and learn the information you need, and also, you know, try to have some way of providing food for yourself while you're there, right? Try to find people that will help you. No, okay, we're going to give you these people. We're going to give you the food you need. We're going to take care of you because you're on a mission for us. Right? This is God. He says, you're going to be on a mission for me. You're going to go out and you're going to spread the gospel abroad. And you're working for me, and I'm going to take care of you. Like, I take care of my people. I care for my sheep. I care for my children. And I care for the people that are going out there and risking their lives and casting aside family for me. I'm not going to leave them without family. I'm not going to leave you without food. I'm not going to leave you without shelter. These are things that I'm going to give you along the way. Like I said in the beginning, go out, preach the gospel, and everything is covered. Everything is covered because God cares a lot for you. And with this, we don't then get some sort of pride. We don't get some sort of, we're better than everybody. Look at this huge family that we have. Look at this huge inheritance that we have. Because in the end, right here, Jesus at the end, because he knows who he's talking to. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Peter. He's talking to the disciples who have been arguing about who is the greatest of them only a little bit ago. Right? And then they see this guy who didn't get it, who couldn't leave everything he had for the gospel. And they see him and they're like, ah, but we get it. Right, Jesus? We get it. We left everybody. And he said, yes. And he could have immediately been like, yeah, but watch yourself. No, he says, yes, you do get it. And you will have people around you. You will have me caring for you. Everything is covered. Yet, the last, many who are last, or many who are first will be last, and the last first. So don't then get this sense of pride right in this. But remember that you are here to serve. You are here to lay down your life. You are here to walk away from things that you love for things that are even greater. Because even in the end here, right, God says, in the end, eternal life, where there is no more persecution. This is a prosperity gospel. This is a prosperity gospel. Christian, you will prosper. You, one, are prospering right now with your family here. And you will have persecutions now. But in the age to come, you will be rich. You will be rich. You will be comfortable. You will have pleasures forevermore. You will be satisfied. You will be delighted. These are all coming for you. And all of that is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your riches. Do you see that? That Jesus Christ, who was a man who was walking next to them and gave this outlandish promise, you will gain 100-fold and eternal life. Who is he to offer this, except that he is this, that he is our riches, that every single person who across the globe is your brother because Jesus Christ made them your brother, because they are united to another brother who is Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Because of what he did on that cross, he made adoption possible, that those who were slaves, that those who were slaves to sin, those who were dead in their sins, could then be bound to Jesus Christ as a brother. And everyone else who is bound to him is now brothers and sisters and mothers. And we are all of one family because of what Jesus Christ did. This is your full assurance because Jesus Christ has done it. He's made it possible. And if you are bound to Jesus Christ, if Chevis is bound to Jesus Christ and I am bound to Jesus Christ, then I am bound to Chevis. And Chevis is a brother that cannot be taken away. Do you see that? I don't have to leave Chevis. I don't have to. And if Chevis goes to the other side of the world, Chevis is still my brother, and I will spend eternal life with Chevis as my brother. What kind of assurance do you have of that kind of family in any other context? You don't, but you do in Jesus Christ. All is covered, so go with full assurance that God has given you a family that even death cannot separate. Have you lost a loved one who is bound in Jesus Christ to death? That this family, even as we continue to die in this life, we are not fully dead. We are alive in Christ Jesus, and we will be there. So any member of this family, not even death, can separate. What a wonderful thing. All is covered, so go preach the gospel. Let's broaden this family, shall we? Those that aren't united with Christ, don't we want them to be united with Christ? And so now, what can hold us back? Right? What can hold us back? He's given anything that we're like, but I need to bury my father. No, actually, you don't. Oh, but I need to worry about money. Actually, I've got food and clothes taken care of for you. What keeps us from going and spreading the love of God to the world? So I want to make a call right now to you. Your entire life ought to orient around Jesus Christ and the gospel. Your entire life. And think about this for a second. Why do people move from one state to another? And I would say the three most popular are very likely love of another human being, work, you got a job over here, or school, you have a school over here. I want to suggest to you that the main reason that you should move is for the gospel. That you should orient your, it's not that your ministry orients around your career or your family or your love interest or your schooling, that these things are more important, that you make sure you have your business here and you're taking care of the food and the money and the family. That needs to take priority, and then you can have the ministry revolving around that. That is not what God has called you to. That you have your calling to serve Jesus Christ and to preach his gospel and to make disciples. And maybe you won't be a preacher, right? But maybe you will go and disciple and teach people to follow all that Jesus has commanded. This is your command to all of you Christians. And so your life needs to be about that. And then everything else surrounds that. And God will bless that, right? If you make your life around Jesus Christ, he will give you family and food and clothing. And he, like, often if you think about it, if you're putting your work before Jesus, then what? Why would Jesus bless that work if it is keeping you from the life that is yours? But if you are surrounding yourself with Jesus Christ, or if you're setting yourself around Jesus Christ, won't, and your work is perpetuating that, isn't that in Jesus' interest to continue that, right? And I'm not saying, like, again, don't get weird with this. But what I am saying is that we ought to orient our life around this. Our losses are all temporary and we gain them back. So you're set. So consider missions. Consider leaving and going somewhere that hasn't heard the gospel. There's a man from Uganda was with us in last prayer meeting, Matthias. He needs people. Maybe you should go to Uganda. Ryan and I are leaving for San Francisco in a couple of years to go preach the gospel out there. Maybe you should come with us. There are people in Indonesia that need help. There are people across the world that need help. There are people, not just help, they need the gospel. There are people in Mexico that need help. There are people in Utah that need the gospel. There are people, there is a need. And if your life is not about reaching that need, which is to make disciples of all nations, then make your life about that. And God just has you so covered. Oh, but I don't want to leave my family behind. It's okay, you have a family there. And if there's not a family there yet, God will make a family there for you, right? But I don't know, I've got a really great job here. God will take care of your food and your clothing and your family for you. Just go. Oh, but I might die. You might die. You might die. But you won't die forever. He's got life planned for you. He's got life set aside for you. You don't have to worry about keeping this life going because he's got life eternal just set for you. So go. If you're not orienting your life around discipling the nations, then orient your life around discipling the nations because that's our call. This is what we have. And don't worry about it because God's got you covered. God's got you covered so much. There is nothing that you can lose that God can't give you back. And this isn't about, okay, if I give all this away, then I can get a lot more, right? That's the message of the televangelist, right? But James 4 says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Right? Don't ask for this so that you can gain a bigger job or a better food and everything. Do everything for the sake of Christ and the gospel, and everything will be taken care of for you. Everything. Orient your life around Jesus Christ and the gospel. And in any way that your life is not oriented around Christ and the gospel, change that. Repent of that. And know that God has you so covered. I'm saying it over and over again, but there is nothing. Think of something that God doesn't have covered, and he has it covered. And if he doesn't have it covered, you don't need it covered. This is how set you are, Christian. So go, preach the gospel, and God will take care of the rest because he cares deeply for you. Lord, God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that through his death and resurrection, we died and resurrected to a new family. A family that can't be taken away, that even death can't take away. God, that you have taken care of every need. And Father, we desire to spread your gospel abroad that more might be brought into this family. God, you are taking over the world and we are in. God, take away any inhibitions. Father, those in here that don't know you, that aren't brothers and sisters, God, would you make them brothers and sisters? We care a lot about them. Even those that we don't know that have come through the door, we know that we love them and we care about them and we desire their good and we want to be their brother and sister and we want them to stay on our couch and we want to feed them and clothe them because you have fed and clothed us. God, you have given us so much. You've given us a huge family. God, expand it. God, stir our confidence in you through this sermon and through this passage. If we're worried about tomorrow, we don't need to worry about tomorrow because you already know tomorrow and you are there caring for us already. God, stir our hearts to go and make disciples. And if all disciples are made there, to go somewhere else and make disciples. Father, until this whole world kneels before you as children of yours, that we can all call you Dad, because you are our great Father. And we love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.